"What the hell?" I say and kneel down in front of him. "What happened to you?" I ask. He looks up at me, and his eyes are so haunted, my anger dissolves like sugar on my tongue.
"Why do you care? Where's your date?"
he growls. I click my tongue gently and move his hand away from his mouth, examining his busted lip. He jerks away from me, but I bite my tongue. "Tell me what happened," I demand. He sighs and runs his hand over his hair. His knuckles are busted and bloody. The cut on his index finger looks deep and very painful. "Did you get in a fight?"
"What gave you that idea?"
he snaps. "With who? Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I'm fine. Now leave me alone."
"I came here to find you," I tell him, and stand up, wiping the dead grass off my jeans.
"Okay, and you found me, so go."
"You don't have to be such an asshole," I say. "I think you should go home and get cleaned up. You might need stitches on that knuckle." Harden doesn't respond, but stands up and walks past me. I came here to yell at him for being such an idiot and tell him how I feel, and he's making it very hard. I knew he would. "Where are you going?" I ask, following him like a lost puppy.
"Home. Well, I'm going to call Emma and see if she will come back and pick me up."
"She left you here? I don't like her at all."
"No. Well, technically, but I told her to."
"Let me take you," I say, and grab his jacket. He shrugs me off, and I want to slap him. My anger is returning, and I am more pissed off than before. The tables have turned. Our whatever this is has shifted. I am usually the one running from him. "Stop walking away from me," I yell, and he turns around, eyes blazing. "I said, let me take you home," I scream. He almost smiles, but frowns instead and sighs.
"Fine. Where's your car?"
Harden's scent immediately fills the car, only now there is a hint of metal mixed in. It's still my favorite smell in the entire world. I turn the heat on and rub my arms to warm up.
"Why did you come here?"
he asks as I pull out of the parking lot. "To find you." I try to remember everything I had planned to say, but my mind is blank, and all I can think about is kissing his busted mouth.
"For what reason?"
he asks quietly. "To talk to you. We have so much to talk about." I feel like crying and laughing at the same time, and I have no idea why.
"I thought you said we didn't have anything to talk about,"
he says, and turns to look out the window with a coolness I suddenly find beyond irritating. "Do you love me?" The words come out rushed and strangled. I had not planned on saying them. His head snaps to the side to look at me.
"What?"
His tone is one of shock. "Do you?" I repeat, worrying that my heart might pop right out of my chest. He focuses forward.
"You are not seriously asking me this while we are driving down the street."
"What does it matter where or when I am asking? Just tell me," I practically beg.
I don't know. No, I don't."
He looks around, almost like he needs to escape.
"And you can't just ask someone if they love you when they are trapped in a car with you. What the hell is wrong with you?"
he says loudly. "Ouch. Okay," is all I can manage to say.
"Why do you even want to know?"
"It doesn't matter. I'm confused now. So confused, and my plan to talk out our problems has crashed and burned in front of me, along with any dignity I still held."
"Tell me why you asked me that now,"
he demands. "Don't tell me what to do," I shout back. I pull up to his house, and he looks out at the crowded lawn.
"Take me to my dad's,"
he says. "What? I'm not a damn taxi."
"Just take me there. I will get my car in the morning."
If his car is here, why doesn't he just drive himself? I don't want our conversation to end yet, though, so I roll my eyes and head off toward his father's house. "I thought you hated it there," I say.
"I do. But I don't feel like being around a lot of people right now,"
he says quietly. Then louder, he goes on.
"Are you going to tell me why you asked that? Does this have something to do with Zed? Did he say something to you?"
He seems really nervous. Why does he always ask if Zed said something to me? "No, it has nothing to do with Zed. I just wanted to know." It doesn't really have to do with Zed. It has to do with the fact that I love him and thought for a second he might love me too. The longer I'm around him, the more ridiculous that possibility seems.
Where did you and Zed go when you left the bonfire?
He asks as I pull into his father's driveway. Back to his apartment, I say. Harden's body tenses and his bloody fists clench, tearing the skin on his knuckles further.
Did you sleep with him?
He asks, and my mouth falls open.
What? Why the hell would you assume that? You should know me better than that by now. And who do you think you are to even ask such a personal question? You made it clear that you don't care about me, so what if I did? I shout.
So you didn't?
He asks again, his eyes like stone.
God, Harden, no! He kissed me, but I wouldn't have sex with someone I barely know.
He leans over and turns off my car, clenching his bloody hand over the keys and pulling them out of the ignition.
You kissed him back?
His eyes are hooded as he seems to look straight past me. Yeah, well, I don't know. I think I did. I don't remember anything except Harden's face in my mind.
How do you not know? Have you been drinking?
His voice is louder now. No, I just...
You what?
He shouts, and turns his body to face me. I can't read the energy between us, and for a moment I sit there, trying to get a handle on it. I just kept thinking of you, I finally admit. His stone features soften tremendously, and he brings his eyes to mine.
Let's go inside,
he says, and opens the passenger door. Chapter 67. Karen and Ken are sitting on the couch in the living room and both look up when we walk in.
Harden, what happened?
His father asks, panicked. He jumps up and comes over to us, but Harden brushes him off.
I'm fine,
Harden grumbles.
What happened to him?
Ken turns to me. He got in a fight, but he hasn't told me with who or why.
I am standing right here, and I just said I am fucking fine,
Harden says angrily. Don't talk to your father like that, I scold him, and his eyes widen. Instead of screaming at me, he takes my wrist in his busted hand and pulls me out of the room. Ken and Karen discuss Harden's bloody appearance as he drags me upstairs, and I hear his dad openly wonder why Harden keeps coming here when he never used to before. Once we reach his room, he turns me around, pinning both of my wrists to the wall, and steps up close, leaving only a few inches between us.
Don't ever do that again,
he says through his teeth. Do what? Let go of me right now, I tell him. He rolls his eyes but does let me go and walks over to his bed. I stay close to the door.
Don't tell me how to talk to my father. Worry about your own relationship with your own father before trying to meddle with mine.
As soon as the words come out of his mouth, Harden registers what he says, and he immediately looks apologetic.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. It just came out.
He takes a step toward me with outstretched arms, but I take a step backward into the doorway. Yeah, it always just comes out, doesn't it? I can't help the tears pricking my eyes. Bringing my father into this is just way too much, even for Harden.
Tess, I...
He begins, but stops himself when I hold up one hand. What am I doing here? Why do I keep thinking he will stop the endless string of insults long enough to have an actual conversation with me? Because I am an idiot, that's why. It's fine, really. That's who you are, that's what you do. You find people's weakness and you exploit it. You use it to your advantage. How long have you been waiting to say something about my father? You've probably been waiting for an opening since you met me, I shout.
Damn it, no, I haven't. I wasn't thinking when I said that. You are not innocent here. You provoke me on purpose,
he yells even louder than I did.
Provoke you? I provoke you. Please, do enlighten me.
I know everyone in the house can hear, but for once, I don't care.
You always push my buttons. You constantly fight with me. You go on dates with Zed. I mean, fuck. You think I like being this way? Do you think I like you having this control over me? I hate the way you get under my skin. I loathe the way I can't seem to stop thinking about you. I hate you. I really do. You're such a pretentious little...
He stops and looks at me. I force myself to look back at him, putting on the charade that he didn't just tear me apart with every syllable.
This is what I am talking about.
He runs his hands over his hair as he paces back and forth across the room.
You make me crazy.
Literally fucking mental. And then you have the nerve to ask if I love you? Why would you even ask that? Because I said that one time by accident?
I told you already that I didn't mean it, so why would you ask again? You like rejection, don't you? That's why you keep coming around me, isn't it?
All I want to do is run. Run out of this room and never, ever look back. I need to run. I need to flee. I try to stop it, but he has me in such a rage, I yell the thing I know will get to him, break his control. No, I keep coming around because I love you. I cover my mouth immediately, wishing I could push the words back in. He couldn't possibly hurt me worse than he has, and I don't want to be left wondering years from now what he would have said if I told him. I am okay with him not loving me. I got myself into this knowing how he was all along. He looks astonished.
You what?
He blinks rapidly as if trying to process the words. Go on. Tell me how much you hate me again. Go ahead and tell me how stupid I am for loving someone who can't stand me, I say, my voice coming out foreign and almost in a whine. I wipe my eyes and look at him again, feeling as if I've been gravely defeated and need to leave the scene to bandage my wounds. I'll be going now. As I turn to go, he takes one long stride to close the gap between us. I refuse to look at him as he puts his hand on my shoulder.
Damn it, don't go,
he says, his voice full of emotion. Which emotion is the question?
You love me?
He whispers and puts his busted hand under my chin to tilt my head to him. I dart my eyes away from his and nod slowly, waiting for him to laugh in my face.
Why?
His breath comes in a hot burst against my face. I finally bring my eyes to his and he looks... afraid? What? I ask softly.
Why do you love... how could you possibly love me?
His voice cracks and he stares at me, and I feel like the words I say next will determine my fate more than anything I've ever done before. How could you not know that I love you? I ask, instead of answering him. He doesn't think I could love him? I have no explanation except that I just do. He drives me crazy, makes me angrier than I have ever been, but somehow I fell for him. Hard.
You told me you didn't, and you went out with Zed. You always leave me. You left me on the porch earlier when I begged you for another chance. I told you I loved you, and you rejected me. Do you know how hard that was for me?
He says. I must be imagining the tears welling in the corners of his eyes, though I am too aware of his calloused fingers under my chin. You took it back before I could even process what you said. You've done a lot of things to hurt me, Harden, I tell him, and he nods.
I know. I'm sorry. Let me make it up to you. I know I don't deserve you. I don't have the right to even be asking this, but please, just one chance. I am not promising not to fight with you or get mad at you, but I am promising to give myself to you completely. Please, just let me try to be what you need.
He sounds so unsure of himself, it turns my insides to liquid. I want to think this can work, but I just don't know how it could. So much damage has already been done. But my eyes betray me as the tears fall. Harden brings his fingers up from my chin and captures them, even as a single tear escapes down his own cheek.
Do you remember when you asked me who I love most in the world?
He asks, his lips inches from mine. I nod, though it seems so long ago, and I didn't think he was even paying attention.
It's you. You're the person that I love most in the world.
His words surprise me and dissolve the ache and the anger in my chest. Before I will let myself believe him and turn me into putty in his arms, I ask, "This isn't part of your sick game, is it?"
No, Tessa. I'm done with the games. I just want you. I want to be with you in a real relationship. You'll have to teach me what in the hell that even means, of course.
He laughs nervously, and I join him with earnest laughter of my own.
I have missed your laugh. I haven't heard it enough. I want to be the one to make you laugh, not cry. I know I am a lot to handle.
I cut him off by pressing my lips against his. His kisses are rushed, and I can taste blood from his cut. My knees want to buckle from the electricity shooting through me. It seems so long ago that I last felt his mouth on mine. I love this damaged, self-loathing asshole so much that I'm afraid it will crush me. He lifts me up and I wrap my thighs around him, tangling my fingers into his hair. He moans into my mouth and I gasp, pulling harder. My tongue runs over his bottom lip and when he winces, I pull away. "Who did you get in a fight with?" I ask, and he laughs.
"You're asking now?"
"Yeah, I want to know," I smile.
"You always have so many questions. Can't I answer them later?"
He pouts. "No, tell me."
"Only if you'll stay."
He holds me against him tighter.
"Please?"
he begs. "Okay," I say, and kiss him again, completely forgetting about my question. Chapter 68. Eventually we stop kissing, and I go to sit at the foot of the bed, and Harden follows me, sitting up by the headboard. "Okay, now tell me who you fought with. Was it Zed?" I ask, afraid of his answer.
"No, it was just a few random guys."
I'm relieved it wasn't Zed, but then I register what he actually said. "Wait, a few? How many?"
"Three or four? I'm not really sure."
He laughs. "It's not funny. Why were you fighting anyway?"
"I don't know."
He shrugs.
"I was pissed that you left with Zed, and it seemed like a good idea at the time."
"Well, it's not a good idea, and now look how busted up you are," I frown, and he cocks his head to the side with a puzzled expression. "What?"
"Nothing. Come here,"
he says, and holds his arms out to me. I move across the bed and lean back on him between his legs.
"I'm sorry for the way I treated, well, treat you,"
he says quietly into my ear. A shiver runs through my body from his breath in my ear and his unforced apology. "It's okay." "Well, it's not okay, but I am going to give you one more chance. I hope he doesn't make me regret it. I don't think I can handle any more hot and cold from him."
"Thank you. I know I don't deserve it. But I am selfish enough to take it,"
he says, his mouth against my hair. He wraps his arms around me, and sitting with him like this feels foreign and nostalgic at the same time. When I stay silent, he turns my shoulder slightly to have me look at him.
"What's wrong?"
he asks. "Nothing. I'm just afraid that you'll change your mind again," I say. I want to dive into this head first, but I'm desperately afraid I will hit the bottom.
"I won't. I have never changed my mind. I've just fought my feelings for you. I know you can't trust my words alone, but I want to earn your trust. I won't hurt you again,"
he promises, and leans his forehead against mine. "Please don't," I beg. I don't care how pathetic I sound.
"I love you, Tessa,"
he says, and my heart leaps out of my chest. The words sound perfect coming off his lips, and I would do anything to be able to hear them again. "I love you, Harden." This is the first time we have both openly said the words, and I fight down my urge to panic over the possibility that he could take them back again. Even if he does, I will always have the memory of how they sounded, how they made me feel.
"Say it again,"
he whispers, and turns me around to face him. In his eyes, I see more vulnerability than I had thought possible for him. I move to my knees and take his face in my hands, rubbing my thumbs over the light stubble on his perfect face. I can tell by his expression that he needs me to say it over and over again. I will say it as many times as I have to until he believes that he is worthy of someone loving him. "I love you," I repeat, and cover his lips with my own. He hums in appreciation as his tongue grazes gently over mine. Kissing Harden feels new and different each time, and he is like a drug that I can't get enough of. His hands press against the small of my back, bringing our chests together. My mind is telling me to take it slow, to kiss him gently and to savor each second of this gentle calm between us. But my body is telling me to grab a fistful of his hair and pull his shirt over his head. His lips travel down my jaw and attach themselves to my neck. That does it. I can't control myself anymore. This is us. All anger and passion and now love. An involuntary moan escapes my lips and he groans against my neck, grabbing my waist and flipping us over so he is hovering over me.
I have missed you so much,
he says, in between sucking the skin on my neck. I can't keep my eyes open. It feels too good. He unzips my jacket and looks down at me with hungry eyes. He doesn't ask for my permission before tugging at the fabric, pulling my tank top up and over my head, and he sucks in a sharp breath as I arch my back so he can unclasp my bra.
I've missed your body, the way you fit perfectly in my hand,
he growls as he palms my breasts. I moan again and he presses his lower body against mine so I can feel his arousal pressed against my lower stomach. Our breathing is rapid and uncontrolled, and I have never wanted him more. It seems the admission of our feelings hasn't lessened the overwhelming passion between us. I am glad. His hand glides down over my bare stomach and pops open the button on my jeans. As his fingers slide into my panties, he gasps into my mouth.
I've missed how wet you always are for me.
His words do wicked things to me, and I lift my hips again, begging for contact.
What do you want, Tessa?
He breathes heavily into the crook of my neck. You, I answer, before my mind can process what I just said. But I know it's true. I want Harden in the most primal, deep way possible. His finger slides easily into me, and my head falls back against the pillow as he slips in and out.
I love to watch you, to see how good I make you feel,
he says, and I moan in response. My hands fist his t-shirt at his back. He has too many clothes on, but I can't form a coherent sentence to demand their removal. How do we go from I hate you to I love you to this? I don't care for the answer, though. All I care about is the way he is making me feel, the way he always makes me feel. His body slides down mine and he removes his hand from my pants. I whine from the loss of contact and he smiles. As he pulls down my jeans and panties, I gesture at his fully clothed body. Undress, I say, and he chuckles.
Yes, ma'am.
He smirks and pulls his shirt over his head, revealing his inked skin. I want to run my tongue along every single line on every single tattoo. I love the way the infinity symbol above his wrist is so out of place among the flames inked below it. Why did you get this? I ask, running the pad of my index finger over the mark.
What?
He's distracted, his eyes and hands focused on my breasts. This tattoo, it's so different than the rest. So much softer and sort of feminine? His fingers roam across both breasts and he leans in, pressing his arousal against my leg.
Feminine, huh?
He smiles and traces his lips across mine before pulling away and cocking a brow. I no longer have interest in his tattoo or why he got it. I just want to touch him, to feel his mouth on mine. Before either of us can ruin the moment with more words, I grab hold of his hair and pull his face to mine. I kiss him briefly on the lips before moving to his neck. From my experience in pleasuring Harden, I know that the spot on his neck just above his collarbone drives him crazy. I plant wet and warm kisses against there, feeling his body jerk and tense as I lift my hips to him again. The feeling of his bare body on top of mine is exquisite. All of our bare skin is already starting to shine a little with perspiration. If one small movement is made, this will be taken to another level, a level that I had never been ready to reach until now. The flexing of Harden's hard muscles as he slowly rubs himself against me, moaning, is too much for me to resist. Harden, I moan as he glides against me again.
Yes, baby.
He stops moving. I bring my heels to his thighs and force him to move again. His eyes flutter closed.
Fuck,
he moans. I want to, I say.
You want to what?
His breath is hot and heavy against my clammy skin. I want to, you know, I say, finding myself suddenly embarrassed despite our intimate position.
Oh,
he says. He stops moving again and stares into my eyes. He seems to be waging some internal battle with himself.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
What? Why? I push him off me. Here we go again.
No, no, baby. I just mean for tonight.
He wraps his arms around me and puts me on my side, lying next to me. I can't look at him. I'm too humiliated.
Listen, look at me,
he says, tilting my chin.
I want to. Fuck, I do want to. More than anything, trust me. I've wanted to feel you around me since I met you, but I just think after everything today and... I just want you to be ready. I mean, all the way ready, because once we do this, it's done. You can't take it back.
My humiliation eases and I look at him. I know he is right. I know I need to think about this more, but I have a hard time believing that my answer will be any different tomorrow. I should think about it when I'm not under the influence of his naked body grinding against mine. He's worse than alcohol running through my veins.
Don't be upset with me, please. Just think about it for a little while. And if you're sure that's what you want to do, I will gladly fuck you. Over and over. When and where you want. I want to...
Okay, okay. I bring my hand up to cover his mouth. He laughs against my palm and shrugs his shoulders as if to say... Just saying. When I remove my hand from his mouth, he playfully bites my palm and pulls me to him.
I guess I should put some clothes on so you aren't so tempted,
he teases, and I blush. I can't decide which aspect of this is more surprising, the fact that I just suggested we have sex, or the fact that he actually has enough respect for me to turn me down.
But first, let me make you feel good,
he mutters, and flips me onto my back in one swift motion. His mouth ducks down between my legs, and within minutes, my legs are shaking, and I'm covering my mouth with my hand to keep from screaming his name for everyone to hear. Chapter 69. I wake up to Harden snoring lightly, his lips pressed to my ear. My back is tight against his chest, and his legs are hooked around mine. Memories from last night bring a smile to my lips before the euphoric feeling is replaced by panic. Will he feel the same in the light of day? Or will he torture and taunt me for offering myself to him? I roll over slowly to face him, to examine his perfect features while his permanent frown is smoothed by sleep. I reach out and run my index finger over his eyebrow ring, then down to the bruise on his cheek. His lip looks better, as do his knuckles, since he finally agreed to let me help him wash them off last night. His eyes snap open as my finger greedily traces his lips.
What are you doing?
He asks. I can't decipher his tone, which makes me uneasy. Sorry, I was just... I don't know what to say. I don't know what type of mood he will be in after we fall asleep in each other's arms.
Don't stop,
he whispers, and closes his eyes again. Half of the weight in my chest disappears, and I smile before tracing over the shape of his plump lips again, careful to avoid his injury.
What are your plans for today?
He asks a few minutes later, reopening his eyes. I actually have plans with Karen to work on her greenhouse out back, I tell him, and he sits up.
Really?
He must be mad. I know he doesn't like Karen, even though she is one of the sweetest people I have ever met. Yeah, I mumble.
Well... I guess I don't have to worry about my family liking you. I think they probably like you better than they do me.
He chuckles and runs the pat of his thumb across my cheek, sending a shiver down my spine.
The problem with that is, if I keep hanging out here, my dad may start to believe I actually like him,
he says. His tone is light, but his eyes dark. Maybe you and your dad could hang out or something while Karen and I are outside, I suggest.
No, definitely not,
he growls.
I'll go back to my house, my real house, and wait for you to be done.
I wanted you to stay here, though. It may take a while. Her greenhouse is in pretty bad shape, I say. He seems to be at a loss for words, which makes my heart warm at the thought that he doesn't want to be away from me for very long.
I don't know, Tessa. My father probably doesn't want to hang out with me anyway.
He mumbles. Of course he does. When is the last time you two were even in the same room alone together? He shrugs.
I don't know. Years. I don't know if this is a good idea,
he says, running his hands over his head. If you get uncomfortable, you can always join Karen and me outside, I assure him. Frankly, I'm astonished that he is considering spending time with his father.
Fine. But I am only doing this because the thought of leaving you, even for a little while...
He stops, I know he isn't good at expressing how he feels, so I stay quiet, giving him time to collect himself.
Well, let's just say it's worse than hanging out with my prick of a father.
I smile, despite the harsh words against his dad. The father that Hardin knows from his childhood is not the same man that is downstairs, and I hope Hardin can come around to see that. After I climb out of the bed, I remember that I have no clothes with me, no toothbrush, nothing. I need to go by my room and grab some things, I tell him, and he tenses.
Why?
Because I don't have any clothes, and I need to brush my teeth, I say. When I look at him, he has a small smile on his face, but it doesn't reach his eyes. What's wrong? I ask, afraid of the answer.
Nothing. How long will you be gone?
Well, I was assuming you would come with me. As the words leave my mouth, he visibly relaxes. What is with him?
Oh.
Are you going to tell me why you are being weird? I ask with my hands on my hips.
I'm not. I just thought you were trying to leave. Leave me.
His voice is so small and unlike him that I get the urge to walk over and cradle him. Instead, I gesture for him to come to me, and he nods before getting up and standing in front of me. I'm not going anywhere. I just need some clothes, I tell him again.
I know. It's just going to take a little getting used to. I'm used to you running away from me, not leaving and coming back.
Well, I'm used to you pushing me away from you, so we both just have some adjusting to do. I smile and lay my head on his chest. I feel oddly comforted by his worry. I had been terrified that he would change his mind this morning, and it feels good to know he was just as afraid.
Yeah, I guess we do.
I love you, he says, and it hits me just as hard as it did the first time and the 20th last night. And I love you too, I tell him, and he frowns.
Don't say too,
he says. What? Why? My doubt is on call, waiting for him to deny me, yet hoping that he won't.
I don't know. It just makes me feel like you are just agreeing with me.
He looks down. I remember the promise I made to myself last night that I would do whatever I can to help him conquer his self-doubt. I love you, I say, and he looks up at me. His eyes soften and he gently presses his lips against mine.
Thank you,
he says when he pulls away. I roll my eyes at how flawless he looks in a plain white t-shirt and black jeans. He never wears anything except plain white or black t-shirts and black jeans every single day, but he looks perfect every single day. He doesn't need to follow whatever trend is hot. His simple style suits him so well. I put on my clothes from last night, and he grabs my purse for me before we head downstairs. We find Karen and Ken in the living room. I made some breakfast, Karen says cheerily. I feel slightly uncomfortable with Karen and Ken knowing I stayed with Hardin again. I know they seem to be perfectly fine with it, and we are adults, but that doesn't stop my cheeks from blushing. Thank you, I smile, and she gives me a curious look. I know I will get some questions when we are in the greenhouse. I walk into the kitchen, and Hardin follows. We both fill our plates with food and sit at the table. Are Landon and Dakota here? I ask Karen when she comes in. Dakota will probably be confused seeing me with Hardin again after being with Zed last night, but I shake off the negative thoughts. No, they went to Seattle for the day to do some sightseeing. Were you still wanting to work on the greenhouse today? Yes, of course. I just have to run to my room and change my clothes, I tell her. Excellent. I'll have Ken bring the bags of soil out from the shed while you're gone. If you wait until we get back, Hardin can help him, I half-ask, half-offer, looking to Hardin. Oh, you will be around today as well? She asks, her smile growing. How can he not see that people care about him?
Yeah. I was just going to hang out here today, I guess, if that's cool with you?
He stutters. Of course! Ken! Did you hear that? Hardin is going to be here all day! Her excitement makes me smile and Hardin roll his eyes. Be nice, I whisper in his ear, as he plasters the fakest smile I have ever seen across his face. Then I giggle and kick his foot with mine. Chapter 70. I remove my clothes and take a quick shower, even though I'm going to get dirty gardening with Karen. Hardin waits patiently, fiddling through my underwear drawer to keep himself busy. When I'm done, he tells me to pack enough clothes to spend another night with him, which makes me smile. I would spend every night with him if I could. As we drive back, I ask him, Do you want to get your car and take it to your dad's?
No, I'm okay. As long as you stop swerving all over the road.
Excuse me? I am an excellent driver, I say defensively. He snorts but keeps his mouth shut.
So what made you decide to get a car anyway?
Well, I got the internship, and I didn't want to keep taking the bus or depending on other people to take me places. He looks out the window.
Oh, did you go alone?
Yeah. Why?
Just wondering.
He lies. I was alone. That was a bad day for me, I say, and he flinches.
How many times did you and Zed hang out?
He asks. Why is he bringing this up now? Twice. We went to dinner and a movie, then the bonfire. It wasn't anything for you to worry about.
He only kissed you once?
Ugh. Yes, only once. Well, besides the time that... you saw. Now can we move on from this? You don't see me asking about Molly, do you? I snap.
Okay, okay. Let's not fight. This is the longest we have ever gotten along, so let's not ruin it.
He says and reaches for my hand. His thumb rubs small circles on my skin. Okay, I say, still slightly annoyed. The image of Molly on his lap makes my vision blur.
Oh, come on, Tess. Don't pout.
He laughs and pokes my side. I can't help but let out a giggle. Don't distract me. I'm driving.
This is probably the only time you'll ever tell me not to touch you.
Not likely. Don't be so full of yourself. Our laughter blends together, and it's a lovely sound. He brings his hand to my thigh and rubs his long fingers up and down.
You sure?
His raspy voice whispers and my skin tingles. My body responds to him so quickly, my pulse drumming heavily. I gulp and nod, causing him to sigh and pull his hand away.
I know that's not true, but I'd rather not have you driving off the road, so I'll just have to finger you later.
I swat at him, blushing. Harden!
Sorry, baby.
He smiles, raising his hands in mock innocence and looking out the window. I love when he calls me baby. No one has ever called me that before. Noah and I always thought that the ridiculous pet names people called each other were too juvenile for us. But when Harden calls me something, my blood sings in my veins. When we get back to his father's house, Ken and Karen are in the backyard waiting for us. Ken looks out of his element in jeans and a WCU t-shirt. I've never seen him dressed so casually, and in fact, he looks a little like Harden this way. They greet us with a smile that Harden tries to return, but he looks uncomfortable as he shifts on his heels and buries his hands in his pockets.
Ready when you are,
Ken says to Harden. He looks just as uncomfortable as Harden, though he's more nervous, whereas Harden seems apprehensive. Harden looks at me and I give him an encouraging nod, surprised that I have suddenly become someone he looks at for reassurance. It seems that our dynamic has changed dramatically, making me happy in a way I hadn't expected. We will be in the greenhouse, so just bring the soil in there, Karen says and gives Ken a small kiss on the cheek. Harden looks away from them, and for a second I think he may give me a kiss, too, but he doesn't. I follow Karen to the greenhouse, and when we walk inside, I gasp. It's huge, bigger than it looks from the outside, and she wasn't joking when she said it needs a lot of work. It is practically empty. Dramatically, she puts her hands on her hips with chipper glee. It is quite the project, but I think we can do it. I think so too, I say. Harden and Ken come in carrying two bags of soil each. They are both silent as they drop them where Karen directs before walking back out. 20 bags of soil and hundreds of seeds and dozens of flowers and vegetable plants later, we have a pretty good start. Before I realize it, the sunlight has started to fade, and I haven't seen Harden in a few hours. I hope he and Ken are both still alive. I think we've done enough for today, Karen says, and wipes her face. We are both covered in dirt. Yeah, I better check on Harden, I tell her, and she laughs. It means a lot to us, Ken especially, that Harden has been coming around more, and I know we have you to thank for that. I take it that you two worked out your differences? Sort of. I guess we did. I let out a little laugh. We are still very different. If only she knew. She gives me a knowing smile. Well, different is sometimes what we need. It's good to be challenged. Well, he is definitely challenging. We both laugh and she pulls me in for a hug. You sweet girl. You have done more for us than you know. I feel my eyes tearing up and I nod. I hope you don't mind that I've been staying overnight. Harden has asked me to stay again, I tell her, and try not to make eye contact. No, of course not. You both are adults, and I trust you're being safe. Oh, God. I know my cheeks are a deeper shade of red than the bulbs we just planted. We don't, I stammer. Why am I talking about this with Harden's soon-to-be stepmother? I am mortified. Oh, she says, equally embarrassed. Let's go inside. I follow her into the house, and we both take our dirty shoes off at the door. I can see into the living room, where Harden is sitting on the edge of the couch and Ken is in the easy chair. Harden's eyes immediately find mine, and relief flushes through them. I'll make some late dinner while you get cleaned up, Karen says. Harden stands up and walks over to me. He seems glad to be out of the room with his father. We'll be back down soon, I say, and follow Harden up the stairs. How was it? I ask as we enter his room. Instead of answering me, he wraps his fingers around my ponytail and brings his lips to mine. We stagger back against the door, and he presses his body against me.
I missed you.
My insides liquefy. You did?
Yes, I did. I just spent the last few hours with my father in awkward silence, and then sharing a few even more awkward comments here and there. I need a distraction.
He runs his tongue along my bottom lip, and my breath catches in my throat. This is different. Welcome, and very hot, but different. His hands travel down my stomach and stop at the button on my jeans. Harden, I need a shower. I am covered in dirt, I say, laughing. His tongue runs along my neck.
I like you this way, nice and dirty.
He gives me that smile with those dimples. But I gently push him back and grab my bag before heading to the bathroom. My breathing is ragged and I'm a little disoriented, so when I try to close the bathroom door, only to have it stop midway, I'm confused. Until I look down and see Harden's boot.
Can I join you?
He smiles and pushes his way into the bathroom before I can answer. Chapter 71. His fingers grip the bottom of his shirt, pulling it over his head, and he reaches behind me to turn on the shower. We can't just take a shower together. We're at your father's house, and Landon and Dakota could be back any time, I say. The idea of seeing Harden completely naked under the shower makes me squirm, but this is too much.
Well, then I am going to take a nice hot shower while you stand there and overanalyze.
His pants drop to the floor, along with his boxers, and he steps past me and into the water. The bare skin on his back is tight, pulled against the muscles there. He faces me, his eyes moving up and down my covered body the way mine are on his naked one. The water covers him, making his tattooed skin glisten. I don't realize I'm staring until he closes the curtain abruptly, hiding his perfect figure.
Don't you just love a hot shower after a long day?
His voice is muffled somewhat by the sound of the water, but I can still catch its smugness. I wouldn't know. Some rude naked guy stole my shower, I huff, and hear him chuckle.
A sexy rude naked guy?
He teases.
Just come in before the hot water goes away.
I want to, but taking a shower with someone is just so intimate. Too intimate.
Come on, live a little. It's just a shower,
he says and opens the curtain.
Please?
He reaches his hand out, and my eyes scan his long, inked torso, gleaming from the water sliding down his skin. Okay, I whisper, and undress while he watches every move I make. Stop staring, I scold him, and he pretends to be wounded, placing his hand over his heart.
Are you questioning my nobility?
He laughs, and I nod slowly, trying to fight my smile.
I am insulted.
He reaches his hand out to help, and I can't believe I'm actually doing this, showering with someone. I try my best to cover myself with my arms as I wait for him to move from under the water.
Is it weird that I love how you're still shy around me?
He says, unfolding my arms, removing my shield. I stay quiet, and he gently tugs my arms to bring me more under the water, which he's blocking with his body. His head dips down, soaking my bare shoulder.
I think it's so appealing to me because you are so shy and innocent, yet you let me do dirty things to you.
His breath feels hotter than the water against my ear. I blink as his hands travel down my arms slowly.
and I know for a fact that you like when I say dirty things to you.
I gulp, and he smiles against my neck.
See how your pulse quickens? I can practically see it under your delicate skin.
He taps his index finger over the pulse point in my neck. I have no idea how I am standing. My legs have turned to mush, along with my brain. His fingers running over my body make me stop worrying about the fact that we aren't alone in the house. They make me want to be reckless and let Hardin do whatever he wants to me. When his long fingers wrap around my hips, I involuntarily lean into him.
I love you, Tessa. You believe me, don't you?
He asks. I nod, wondering why he is asking me this right now, after we have said it so many times in the last 24 hours. Yes, I believe you. My voice is hoarse and I clear my throat.
Good. I've never loved anyone before.
He goes from playful to seductive to serious so fast I can barely keep up. Ever? I think I already knew this, but it feels so different actually having him say the words, especially when we are like this. I thought he would have his head between my legs right now, not be expressing his feelings.
No, never. Not even close,
he admits. I wonder if he has ever had a girlfriend before. No, I don't want to know if he has. He told me he doesn't date, so I'm going to stick with that. Oh, is all I can say.
Do you love me the way you loved Noah?
He asks. A sound between a cough and a gasp comes out of my mouth, and I look away from him. I grab the shampoo off the shelf. I haven't even washed anything yet, and we have been in here several minutes already.
Well?
He presses. I don't know how to answer that. It's totally different with Hardin than it was with Noah. I loved Noah, I think. I know I loved him, just not like this. Loving Noah was comfortable and safe. It was always calm. Loving Hardin is raw and exciting. It sparks my every nerve, and I can't get enough of him. I never want to be away from him. Even when he drove me crazy, I missed him and had to fight myself to stay away.
I take that as a no,
he says, and turns away from me, letting me have full access to the water. I feel cramped in the tiny space, and the air is too thin, too clouded with steam from the hot water. It's not the same. How do I explain this to him without sounding insane? His shoulders slack. I know if he was to face me, he would be frowning. My hands wrap around his waist, and I press my lips against his back. It's not the same, but not how you're thinking that means, I say. I love you in a different way. Noah was so comfortable to me, he was almost like family. I felt like I was supposed to love him, but I really didn't. Not in the way I love you, at least. It wasn't until I realized I loved you that I saw how different love was from what I thought it was. I don't know if that even makes sense. A pang of guilt hits me for saying I didn't love Noah, but I think I knew that from the moment I kissed Hardin for the first time.
It does.
When he turns back around, his eyes are much softer. The lust, then apprehension, are gone, replaced by love or relief. I can't tell, but he leans down and kisses my forehead.
I just want to be the only person you ever love. That way you are mine.
How could he be such a jerk before and say these loving things to me now? Despite the hint of possessiveness in his tone, his words are sweet and surprisingly humble for him. In the ways that count, you are, I promise him. He seems pleased with my answer as his smile returns. Now can you move so I can get this dirt off me before the water goes cold? I say, and gently push him out of my way.
I'll do that for you.
He grabs the cloth and pours soap on it. I hold my breath the entire time he gently scrubs the dirt off my body and shiver as he passes over the sensitive spots, his touch lingering on them.
I would have you wash me, but I won't be able to stop what would happen after.
He winks at me and I blush. I want to find out what would happen after, and I would love to touch every inch of his body, but Karen has probably already finished cooking and might come looking for us soon. I know the responsible thing to do would be to agree to leave the shower, but it's hard to concentrate on being responsible when he's naked in front of me. I reach for him, gripping his length in my palm, and he steps back against the shower wall. He stares at me as I pump him slowly in my hand.
Tess,
he groans, resting his head back against the tiled wall. I keep my hand on him, willing him to groan again. I just love the noises he makes. I glance down, admiring the way the water is spraying us, helping my hand to glide easily over him.
You make me feel so fucking good.
His gaze on me makes me a little nervous, but the way his teeth are pressed together and the way his eyelids flutter, it's as if he's trying to keep them open to urge me to pleasure him further. My thumb rubs across the head of his penis, and he curses under his breath.
I'm going to come now. Already. Fuck.
His eyes close, and I feel the warmth of his release mix with the hot water, and I can't help but stare until only the water is left on my hand. Hardin leans over, out of breath, and presses a kiss to my mouth.
Amazing,
he whispers, kissing me again. After I am dirt-free and feeling calm, yet wound up from Hardin's touch, I dry off quickly and put on my yoga pants and a t-shirt from my bag, then brush my hair and pull it into a bun. Hardin wraps a towel around his waist and stands behind me, watching me through the mirror. He looks so heavenly and godlike and perfect and mine.
Those pants are going to be distracting,
he says. Have you always been such a pervert, I tease, and he nods. It isn't until we walk into the kitchen that I realize how we look, both coming down with wet hair. It is obvious that we just showered together. Hardin doesn't seem to mind, but then he has no manners. There are some sandwiches over on the counter, Karen proclaims cheerily, pointing near where Ken sits with a stack of folders in front of him. She doesn't seem to be surprised or mind our appearance. My mother would lose her mind if she knew what I just did, especially with someone like Hardin. Thank you so much, I tell her. I had a nice time today, Tessa, Karen says. And we start discussing the greenhouse again while we each gather up a sandwich and sit down to eat. Hardin eats in silence, glancing at me from time to time. Maybe we can do some more work next weekend, I suggest, then catch myself. Never mind, the weekend after, I say, laughing. Yes, of course.
Is there a theme or something with the wedding?
Hardin interrupts. Ken looks up from his work. Well, there isn't really a theme, but we have chosen white and black for the decor, Karen says nervously. I'm sure this is the only discussion they have had with Hardin about the wedding since he lost it when Ken told him about it.
Oh, so what should I wear?
He asks casually. I want to reach over and kiss him after seeing his father's reaction.
You're coming?
Ken asks, clearly surprised but very happy.
Yeah, I guess.
Hardin shrugs and takes another bite of his sandwich. Karen and Ken smile at each other before Ken gets up and walks over to Hardin.
Thank you, son. This means a lot to me.
He pats Hardin on the shoulder. Hardin stiffens but rewards his father with a small smile. This is great news, Karen says, and claps her hands.
It's nothing,
Hardin grumbles. I move to sit next to him and put my hand over his under the table. I never thought I could get him to agree to the wedding, let alone actually talk about it in front of Ken and Karen. I love you, I whisper in his ear when Karen and Ken aren't paying attention. He smiles and squeezes my hand.
I love you,
he whispers back.
So, Hardin, how are your classes going?
Ken asks.
Good. I noticed you moved your classes around again.
Yeah, and?
You're still majoring in English, right?
Ken goes on, unwittingly pressing his luck. I can see that Hardin is getting annoyed.
Yep. That's great. I remember when you were 10 and you would recite passages from The Great Gatsby all day, every day. I knew you were a literature whiz then,
his father says.
Do you? Do you remember that?
Hardin's tone is harsh. I squeeze his hand, trying to signal him to calm down.
Yeah, of course I do,
Ken says calmly. Hardin's nostrils flare and he rolls his eyes.
I find that hard to believe since you were constantly drunk and, if I remember correctly, which I do, you tore that book to pieces because I bumped your scotch and spilled it. So don't try to take a stroll down memory lane with me unless you know what the fuck you're talking about.
He stands up as Karen and I both gasp.
Hardin,
Ken says as he leaves the room. I scurry after him and hear Karen yelling at Ken.
You shouldn't have gone that far with him, Ken. He just agreed to come to our wedding. I thought we agreed on baby steps. Then you go and say something like that. You should have left it alone.
Although she sounds mad, I can tell from the breaks in her voice that Karen is really already crying. Chapter 72. Hardin slams his bedroom door as I reach the top of the stairs. I turn the knob, half expecting it to be locked, but it opens. "Hardin, are you okay?" I ask, unsure what else to say. He answers me by grabbing the lamp off the nightstand and slamming it against the wall. The glass base shatters from the impact. I jump back and a small shriek comes out against my will. He paces over to the desk, grabs the small keyboard, and rips it out of the desktop computer, tossing it behind him. "Hardin, please stop," I yell. He doesn't look at me, but knocks the monitor to the ground and starts yelling,
"Why? Why, Tessa? It's not like he can't afford to buy a new fucking computer."
"You're right," I say, and step on top of the keyboard, crushing it further.
"What? What are you doing?"
he asks, as I pick it up and drop it back on the ground. I'm not really sure what I am doing, but the keyboard's already broken, and this seems like the best idea at the moment. "I'm helping you," I tell him, and confusion flashes in his angry eyes before humor takes over. I pick up the monitor and throw it against the floor. He walks over with a small smile on his lips as I pick it up again, but his hands stop mine, and he takes the monitor out of my hands and sits it on the desk.
"You're not mad at me for yelling at my dad like that?"
he asks and cups my cheeks, his thumbs gently caressing them as his green eyes bore into mine. "No, you have every right to express yourself. I would never be mad about that." "He just had a fight with his dad, but he is worried about me being mad at him?" "Unless, of course, you're being mean for no reason, which in this case you weren't."
"Wow,"
he says. But the small gap between our lips is too tempting. I lean forward and press mine against his, and he immediately opens his mouth, deepening the kiss. My fingers twist into his hair, and he groans as I put more force into it. His anger rolls off him like a tidal wave. I push him back a little, and he turns me around so the bottom of my back hits the desk. His hands attach to my hips, and he lifts me onto the desk. I am his distraction. The thought of me being what Hardin needs makes me feel needed in a way I wasn't aware of. I feel more solid now, more necessary in his life, and my head tilts back as he continues to push his tongue around mine, standing between my legs.
"Closer,"
he moans into my mouth. His hands grip the back of my knees and he pulls me to the edge. My hands tug at his jeans and he pulls his mouth away from mine.
"What?"
He raises an eyebrow at me. He must think I am insane, coming in here and helping him break things and now trying to undress him. And maybe I am. I don't care at the moment. All I care about is the way the curve of Hardin's collarbones are shadowed by the moonlight coming through the bay window, the way one of his hands is holding my face like I am fragile, despite him trying to break everything in the room minutes ago. I answer him wordlessly by wrapping my legs around him and pulling him closer.
"I really thought you were going to storm in here and tell me off."
He smiles and presses his forehead against mine. "You were wrong," I remind him with a smug smile.
"Very. I don't want to go back down there tonight,"
he says, eyes searching mine. "That's fine. You don't have to." He relaxes and moves his head to the crook of my neck. I'm surprised by how easy this is between us. I had expected him to snap at me, maybe even try to make me leave when I came in here. But here he is leaning on me. I can tell he is really trying to navigate this relationship the best he can, despite the fact that he is one giant mood swing. "I love you," I tell him, and feel his lip ring move against my neck as he smiles.
"I love you,"
he replies. "Do you want to talk about it?" I ask, but he shakes his head, still buried in my neck. "Okay, do you want to watch a movie? Something funny, maybe?" I suggest. After a long pause, he looks back toward the bed.
"Did you bring your laptop?"
When I nod, he continues.
"Let's watch The Vow again."
I laugh. "You mean the movie that you supposedly despise?"
"Yes, well, despise is a little harsh. I just think it's a sappy, mediocre love story,"
he corrects. "Then why do you want to watch it?"
"Because I want to watch you watch it,"
he answers thoughtfully, remembering the way he watched me the entire time we watched it in my room. That night seems so long ago. I had no clue what was coming up between us. I would have never imagined we would come to this. My smile is all the answer he needs as he grabs my waist and carries me to the bed. Within minutes, he is snuggled up next to me, studying my face as I watch the movie. Halfway through, I feel my eyes getting heavy.
I'm getting sleepy, I say with a yawn.
They both die. You're not missing much.
I nudge him with my elbow. You have issues.
And you're adorable when you're sleepy.
He closes my laptop and pulls me up to the top of the bed with him. And you're uncharacteristically nice when I'm sleepy, I say.
No, I'm nice because I love you,
he whispers, and I swoon.
Sleep, beautiful.
He gives me a small peck on my forehead, and I am too tired to try for more. The next morning, the light is bright. Too bright. When I roll over to bury my head in Hardin's shoulder, he sighs in his sleep and pulls me closer. When I wake up again, he is awake and staring at the ceiling. His eyes are hooded and his expression unreadable. You okay? I ask, nuzzling farther into him.
Yeah, I'm fine,
he answers, but I can tell he's lying. Hardin, if there is something wrong, I begin.
There isn't. I'm fine.
I decide to let it go. We've gotten along all weekend. It's a record for us. I don't want to ruin it. I lift my head up and place a single kiss on his jaw and his arms wrap tighter around me.
I have a few things to do today, so whenever you're ready, can you drop me off at my house?
He asks. My stomach drops, hearing the distance in his voice. Sure, I mumble, and move out of his embrace. He tries to grab my wrist, but I move too quickly. Grabbing my bag, I head to the bathroom to change and brush my teeth. We have been in our own little bubble all weekend, and I fear that without the protection of these walls, he won't be the same. I'm relieved when I don't run into Landon or Dakota in the hallway, and even more relieved that Hardin is fully dressed when I return. I want to get this over with. He has cleaned the glass off the floor, and the keyboard is